Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
7 o'clock, Sports Radio, 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. We got a lot to talk about over the next 3 hours on a Phillies off night, which means a full WIP evening show until 10 o'clock. We'll talk to Elliot Shore Parks later on, Jack Fritz later on, Mock Draft Mania later on, and I need your recommendations on some beer. My fridge is empty now as we get to the new season. So we'll talk about all that stuff coming up. But I want to start with the Eagles. We'll get to a lot of Phillies tonight, and really the start Rhys Hoskins is off to, which kind of cements what he is doing right now and as the leader of this offense to date for the Phillies. But let's start with the Eagles. After the signing they made yesterday, Eric Wilson, linebacker from the Minnesota Vikings. You know, he's not a household name, but he's 26 years old, good player, nice contract, one-year deal, could be, you know, a guy they re-signed if he plays well. He reminds me of when the Eagles signed Nigel Bradham heading into the 2016 season. So they land Eric Wilson. They landed Anthony Harris a couple weeks ago. Joe Flacco in here to be a backup quarterback. The Eagles traded down from 6 to 12 and picked up a future first-round pick. I thought the trade was great value for the Eagles. And obviously, they went out and they traded Carson Wentz and were able to get, potentially, and I have to say potentially because it's, you know, not locked in, potentially a first-round pick for a guy that was statistically one of the worst quarterbacks in pro football. So this entire offseason, as we've discussed the Eagles and their future and Howie Roseman, it always goes back to this. Well, yeah, Joe, but Howie Roseman stinks. Well, yeah, Joe, but Howie Roseman is terrible. But yeah, Joe, Howie Roseman. You know what is quite obvious, at least in my eyes right now? Howie Roseman has had a good offseason. To date, as of right now, I'm not talking about, you know, 3 weeks from now because the draft is 3 weeks from tonight. But as of this moment, today, the Philadelphia Eagles have had a good offseason. In fact, I'd say a very good offseason for Howie Roseman. I mean, just think about what they've done here over the past couple months. And has it been, you know, earth-shattering? Has it been like big move after big move? No, because they haven't had a ton of cap room. But the Philadelphia Eagles entered the offseason with a quarterback that is making a ton of money off a terrible year requesting a trade. Okay, that happened. They entered the offseason with a crazy amount of cap trouble, and they were so far over the cap, the questions were, would they have to get rid of a bunch of good players because they just simply couldn't get under the cap? Like, would they just have to get rid of Derek Barnett just because they couldn't afford his $10 million? That didn't happen. The Eagles didn't get rid of one player this offseason that they wanted to keep. Not one guy. There's not one player that you feel like, oh, man, guy was a pretty good player, and they just couldn't keep him over money. Didn't happen. Not with one. They restructured contracts. They got rid of guys that couldn't play anymore, or we didn't want anymore, or they didn't want anymore. Nobody would just say, wow, can't believe we had to get rid of this guy. Alshon's gone? Oh, no. Like, everyone they've gotten rid of, no big deal. That guy can't play anymore anyway, or move on, it's not a big deal. So they were able to trade away a quarterback that was, I mean, upset, disgruntled, you insert the adjective, and expensive and not good. Able to trade him away for a first and a third round pick, that's a great trade, all things considered. They were able to get under the cap without, I would say, doing two things. One, cutting any legitimately good players right now. Or number two, having to restructure deals that will really, really hurt them in the future. I don't think any of the restructures will kill them down the line. Did they push the money down the line? Of course they did. But it's not like they're going to have anyone 2 years from now saying, oh my goodness, this guy's making $40 million and he's terrible. They didn't do that. You know, Slay's probably the most controversial, you know, restructure they made because it's a lot of money for next year. And if he declines again, yeah, that could be trouble. But for the most part, none of the restructures really blew me away. Like, wow, that's a problem down the line. They all made sense considering the cap and where it's going. So they were able to trade away Carson Wentz. They got under the cap without, I'd say, destroying their future. They signed Anthony Harris, who a year ago was one of the best safeties in the NFL. They get him for 1 year, $5 million. They're able to get a linebacker yesterday that 122 tackles last year, three interceptions, three sacks. You don't get many playmaking linebackers in the NFL anymore, and they got one yesterday. And they were able to add that guy on a one-year deal. And they were able to trade down from 6 to 12 and get a future first-round pick, giving themselves options for this draft, for next draft, for all these drafts moving forward, and the ability to kind of rebuild this thing the right way. Look, the Eagles have had an offseason there. It's been weird, and it's been mostly negativity here, but here's my thought tonight. We're 3 weeks from the NFL draft, and I don't know what's going to happen on draft night. I don't know where they're going to go, if they're going to trade back again, stay at 12, try to trade up. I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen on draft night. J.C. Horn is my guy. That's what I'm hoping for. But as I see here tonight, you know what I'm comfortable saying? The Eagles have had a good offseason. 215-592-9494. Look, are you willing to admit it? That's what I'm wondering tonight. Are you willing to admit that Howie Roseman and the Eagles, let's just go Howie, that Howie Roseman has had a good offseason here? Like, the Eagles came off of an awful season. They had a bad year. They were 4-11-1. They were one of the worst teams in the NFL. We all watched it. It was tough to get through. They were bad. And there was so much drama there for a bad football team. It was really a tough season in every way. But if you're looking at the offseason, what they've done here, from, you know, resetting the franchise to getting Wentz out of here to clearing out his money in future years to getting a first-round pick back for a quarterback that, quite frankly, was horrendous last year to getting under the cap without really destroying their future cap-wise and to get a couple of good players here on the defensive side of the ball. And if you look at their defense right now, you know, I'm hoping we get a corner on, you know, 3 weeks from now in the first round, but this defense has a chance to not be as, I'd say, inept as people thought it might be. I mean, I look across the defensive line and I see Josh Sweat is here, and Derek Barnett's here, and Brandon Graham is here, and Fletcher Cox is here, and Javon Hargrave is here. I now see Alex Singleton and Eric, you know, the linebacker they got yesterday here. I mean, I see some players here in the front seven. I see Anthony Harris as a safety. I see Darius Slay back at corner. Like, I see a decent defense before we even go into the draft. Top 10 defense? No. I mean, they're not going to be the great defense we hope they are, but they added two legitimate starters for a grand total of like $8.2 million, considering they had no cap room to begin with. They were $40 million over the cap to start this whole thing. So I think when you consider the cap situation, what Howie Roseman was able to do, when you consider the trade of Carson Wentz, when you consider trading down from 6 to 12 and getting a future first-round pick, so far, I would say the Eagles have had a good offseason. Agree, disagree. 215-592-9494. Are the Howie haters out there able to take off their haterade or put down their haterade for a second and admit that Howie Roseman has had a good offseason? Tucker, what are you feeling?
I mean, no.
Why?
Howie Roseman doesn't get a gold star or a medal or a participation ribbon.
I have
ribbons
here.
Starting to build a ladder to climb out of a hole that he dug?
I have a ribbon here, and I'm awarding Howie a ribbon tonight. I'm sorry.
I mean, I look at this Eagles team, and this is a team that won four games a year ago, and I don't see a team that's any better. I see a team with $40 million in dead cap right now heading into 2021. I see a team that added two starters from a defense that was ranked dead last in the NFL last year, and that's supposed to make me excited?
Damn
right. Are you kidding me?
Damn right.
I mean, I get it, and, you know, in a vacuum, the trade back from 6 to 12 looks good.
Good move.
And in a vacuum, the Carson Wentz deal looks okay, despite the fact that he just punted away the quarterback that he tied this entire franchise to for the next half decade.
Looks okay. Hey, Tucker, if you bought a car, okay, you spent a lot of money on a car.
And in 2 years, I decided, screw this, and drove it off a bridge, then it's not a good car.
No. If in 2 years, you spent a lot of money on a car, and the engine literally fell out of the car, and you were able to find some moron in Indianapolis that would give you 10 cents for the car, you made a profit.
Yeah, but guess what? If you did that, but you weren't allowed to drive a car for the next 2 years, then you're still screwed.
Listen, they've got another car in the garage. I'm not worried about the car or quarterback position. What I am happy about is the offseason, Howie said. So basically, you're just faulting Howie for his former mistakes and not giving him credit for his new successes.
I mean, these aren't successes. I don't know where we're getting this idea that signing Eric Wilson is some sort of precursor to having a parade down Broad Street. If that's where we are as a franchise and as a fan base, then okay. But my goodness, Joe, the idea that they signed two starters from a Minnesota Vikings defense last year that was absolutely putrid, it's laughable.
Yeah, well,
I don't look at this team and I don't see a team that can even compete to be 500 next year.
Well, I think they can. 215-592-9494. Tucker is just giving Howie no slack here. And here's the way I see it. In a vacuum, this offseason, these moves, since the season ended to today, I think the Eagles have had a good offseason. This franchise is trying. Like Tucker said a few seconds ago there about the hole they dug. The hole is dug already. Like once you dig a hole, all you can do is climb out. And I see an offseason here in which I'm watching them climb out of this. They have figured out the cap situation without losing any significant player. That's good. They have traded Carson Wentz away and got a first-round pick, potentially, if he plays, for a player that was horrendous last year. They were able to move down from 6 to 12 and got another first-round pick. And then they've signed two starters for very minimal money on one-year deals. And these are good players. I mean, you can tell me all you want about Minnesota's defense as a whole not being good last year. They had young corners getting torched. Anthony Harris is a good safety. Is he a great player? No, but he's good safety. They got in the second wave of free agency. Eric Wilson is a good playmaking linebacker that will start from day one here. They got him for 1 year. He's 26 years old. The way I look at it is man, they've had a good offseason here. Like, we all want to be doom and gloom all the time, but goodness gracious, this has been a good, for where they were, the Eagles have had a good offseason here. Agree, disagree. 215-592-9494. Tucker just, burying the guy. Guy makes, you know, how he had a tough couple years, and I beat him up for it when he did. But now that we look at, like, just this offseason, right, since the season ended to today, 3 weeks from the draft, do you believe the Eagles have had a good offseason? I do. 215-592-9494. We go to Tony over in New Jersey. What's up, Tony?
Joe, yeah. Dude, I'm on the Tucker bandwagon, man. Listen, you can't – I get you're putting it in a vacuum, but you can't put it in a vacuum. You got to look and say, hey, listen, they traded their franchise quarterback – what, 5 years later that they invested all this money into. It's like saying, hey, I bought this $1 million house and I had to sell it for $300,000, but that's great. I put it in the vacuum. I made $300,000. No, you lost $700,000.
Yeah, but Tony, I get your point and I get Tucker's point. I'll continue. But if the house is flooding and the roof is caving in and you're able to get $300,000 for it?
You don't know that.
Tony, I just watched it. I watched it was a flood last year and the roof caved in.
The whole team was a train wreck, and they still are. I mean, you can't hang everything on Carson. And you may be right. Carson could go to Indy and have no success, and then we can look back and say, wow, we got maybe a first round and a second round or whatever we got. That's awesome. I agree. But you look at this team, and I'm sorry, I am – very negative on the Eagles right now because just like Tucker, going into next season, yeah, I know they're in a bad division. They're a bad football team. They're not a good football team. I mean, they got so many holes, and yeah, you traded back and got picks, but if you look at Howie and his resume, I don't believe you're going to make a good pick at 12. At 6, you're going to get a good player at 6. You can't miss. Now, I'm going to go back 6 picks. Yes, I get more picks, but guess what? Look at Howie's resume the last 4 years and what he produces in those picks, and that's your vacuum. Because that's what I'm going to look at. I'm going to say, hey, this is what Howie's done. This is his resume. This is what he's produced in the draft, and he's missed time and a time again over the last 3 years on just major misses that set our franchise back. So it's hard to get – listen, I know you want to be Joe Positivity on the Eagles right now. Let's talk about the Phillies, but really, this team is a 6-win team next season. I don't, you know, these 1-year deal is great. You know, put those, just like Tucker said, we got the Minnesota Vikings defensive players. That's awesome. And hey, listen, I'm a huge fan. If they win 10 games next year, I'll call you back and say, hey, listen, Howie's great offseason.
Yeah, I don't think they're winning 10 games, but you can have a good offseason. And Tony, I hear your point and I appreciate you. I appreciate you listening and calling. You can have a good offseason without becoming a Super Bowl team. If you go back to 2016 when the Eagles went from where they were with Chip to what they became with Doug and Carson and that team, they had a good offseason that year. They won 7 games the next season. They were 7-9. Like, sometimes you can build something without, you know, seeing the immediate results. Like the offseason where Howie took over, back over from Chip, and they went 7-9 again. I mean, there was literally no improvement, wins and losses. If that's the only way we're judging this, then, like, I don't know how much improvement it's going to be. I mean, I think the Eagles can win 6 or 7 games next year. And maybe, you know, I'd say 7 is a fair number. 7, 10, 8, 9. Like, I think they could be that. But it's not going to make the playoffs or be a great team next season. Doesn't mean this offseason wasn't good. Again, we have to take a deep breath on they got a first-round pick. And I know Tucker doesn't want to call it that because he doesn't want to swim across the Schuylkill.
It's not a first-round pick yet, Joe.
Yeah, they got a first-round pick and a third-round pick for a guy that was horrendous. Like, I don't care how much you once thought how good you thought he once was, or how much money he made, or whatever the promise used to be for Carson Wentz. Like, in the NFL, it's not for long. It's not for long league. Teams go what they see on tape. And the fact that the Colts gave a first and a third for Carson Wentz, that's a good trade by Howie. I mean, it's a good trade. 215-592-9494. It's not about being positive or negative. It's just it's the way I view it this offseason. Like, if you had come to me and laid this out to me in January when the offseason began, they're $40 million over, the Wentz thing is awkward, we don't know what's going on here, like we don't know what's happening. And you said, Joe, they're under the salary cap, it's early April, they're under the cap. I'd say, okay, who'd they get rid of? And you say, Alshon and Malik Jackson. I'd say, that's it? Yeah. Did they get rid of any other starting players? No one they wanted. They're all still here. Okay. So they got under the cap. Carson Wentz is gone. What'd they get for him? A first and a third. I say, wow, for the guy that wants out and stunk? Yeah. Okay, what'd they do with the draft picks? Well, they actually traded back from 6 to 12. They got a future first round pick. They have 3 first rounders in next year's draft. You know what I said to you in January? That's pretty good. Would you not have said the same thing, Tucker?
No, because you haven't added anything.
Well, they didn't have cap room. Right, where were they going to? Did anyone think they would add anyone of significance?
No, and I guess it's unfair to assume that, but I'm not going to give a guy a resounding standing ovation for keeping the status quo and getting under the salary cap. Right,
like, well,
I'm not
going to
go into April, May, June, July, August, and be excited about what the foundation of this team is. I mean, you brought up 2015 to 2016, as much talent that was on that 2015 team.
What talent?
There was a lot of talent.
They
I mean,
stunk.
Go watch the 2017 Super Bowl. You tell me who was playing. But there were wholesale changes made to that roster, right? And having $30 million in cap room certainly aided that.
Of course.
The changes that have been made in this offseason don't even come close to the changes that were made in the offseason of 2016.
Well, they don't. But they haven't added as many players, that's for sure. 215-592-9494. I think the Eagles have had a good offseason. Agree, disagree. Obviously, Tucker disagrees. I look at it and say, They've done well considering the circumstances when this offseason began. Tony is in Norwood. Tony's on WIP. Hey, Tony.
Hey, how you doing, boss?
Good, Tony.
You know, same thing with the other Tony. He's got a point. You know, Carson could end up being better than you think he is because he's going to be protected. He's got weapons. He's got a defense. He's got a coach that can coach and can work with him. You've seen it before. Okay, yeah, he quit. He quit here. I don't blame him for quitting here. Every time he took the damn ball, he got clobbered. You know, you got to look at the big picture there in Indy. We're going to get a first-round pick because he's going to play 70% of the snap. But let's, you know, get hurt. Possibly, he might get hurt.
Yeah, I mean, Tony, I don't care what he does in Indy, though. If he's good, good for him. They got a first-round pick for a guy who stunk last year. That's a good trade.
No, we're going to get a first round pick, but you're assuming you are. Okay. But my point is, though, is, you know, you just throw him out to trash. He's not trash. I'm telling you right now.
But last year, he was the worst quarterback I've ever seen play a football
game. Statistically, he was the worst in the
league. No. Forget statistics. Like, he was, it hurt my eyes to watch him play. That's how bad he played.
It hurt my eyes to watch the whole team play. And as far as Howie goes, he can screw up a one-car funeral. So, I mean, you know, you're looking at, you know, we've got all these assets, but like I said, he can screw up a one-car funeral. So,
right, but he hasn't screwed anything up yet this offseason. It's all been good.
He did great. No, he did great in accumulating what we have right now.
Yeah.
I'm not knocking that at all. Okay, but the thing is, he's not great at picking talent. And, like, Joe, when Joe Douglas was here, I had no problem with it.
And Tony, listen, I like Joe, and I'm rooting for him in New York. Tony, I appreciate it. I mean, let's go back to the drafts that Joe Douglas was here. You know, those drafts haven't exactly been bountiful to the Eagles. You know, he was here in 2017. Derek Barnett and Sidney Jones were the first two picks. Danelle Pumphrey was the one running back they took in a historic running back class. You know, that Joe Douglas is part of that. It's Joe Douglas.
I mean, he's been pretty successful since he left, right?
Joe?
Yeah, I mean, he went to the Jets, and he's turned that franchise around, right?
And they're perennial winners.
Did they make the playoffs last year?
No, but they did win one game, or two games.
I mean,
two.
That's almost half as many as the Eagles.
Well, you're right on that. He's catching up, and maybe next year surpass them. The bottom line is this. I feel like the discussion around the Eagles, their offseason, Howie, it's like we can't have a real one because everyone's upset at what he did in the past. I'm looking at this since this offseason began, and now we're about to enter the next phase, and some would say the most important phase of an offseason, which is the draft. And can I tell you with a straight face right now how he's going to hit a home run in the draft? I cannot. because Howie Roseman has not been a great drafter. And let's be real about it. He hasn't. But as of right now, as of this moment, I look at it and I say, they got a first and a third, or at least a possible first and a third, a likely first and a third for a quarterback that was, you know, playing like a potato with arms last year. I mean, he was horrendous, okay? So they got that. They were able to get under the cap without getting rid of any real significant players that you wanted to keep around. That's pretty good, too. They were able to sign two starters. I mean, you can tell me all you want about the defense they were on. They're good players for minimal money on one-year deals. Check mark there. And they were able to acquire an extra first-round pick to move down in the draft. Good move there. They have three first-round picks potentially in next year's draft. All this has happened in the last 3 months. I'd say this has been a good couple months here for the Philadelphia Eagles. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Jay, who's in Roxborough. What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's going on?
Jay, what are you thinking here?
Well, see, here's the thing. I'm one of the biggest Howie, you know, apologists, you know, so to speak, because and I've been asking the same question forever. Nobody's really been able to answer. I've been asking people to tell me five GMs that have been better over the last 5 years than Howie. You know, nobody can give me two, you know, and, you know, in order to do that, you got to look at drafts, all those drafts. You got to look at rounds 1 through 7, and you got to see who's still on those teams, who's not. You can't just look at what Howie does in Philadelphia and not look at the scope of the job itself as GM. We just happen to live in Philadelphia and watching our GM, and we don't care about what other GMs do. But in order to judge Howie fairly, you got to look at what other GMs do, because they make some bad mistakes. There's a guy named Bill Belichick that passed on DK Metcalf and took N'Keal Henry instead of Metcalf. Nobody says anything about that, you know. So, you know, but we get criticized for our thing of Whiteside, you know. But, you know, so we got to look at how we judge Howie and be fair about it.
Yeah, you know, Jay, really it's interesting. You know, it's interesting because we do that. We kind of get in a tunnel here. Jay, I always appreciate your phone call and appreciate your perspective. We get in a tunnel, right? We talk about the pros, the cons, and we're in our own tunnel. Like, this guy stinks, this guy's great, and we don't have a big picture view on the league. Do I think Howie's a top five GM? I wouldn't say that. No, I've pushed back on the notion this entire offseason that he's the worst GM in the NFL. Like, I just think the track record says that's not true. Is he top five? I wouldn't put him top five. I'd go up on a list. I wouldn't put him top five. But my bottom line is this. This offseason, from the end of the season to now, I believe the Eagles, and I'm putting Howie front and center as the guy, you know, making the decisions in terms of players here, cutting, restructure, trades, whatever. Howie's had a good offseason. They've traded away Carson Wentz for a good return. They've moved down the draft, got an extra first-round pick. They have signed two starters on defense, good players for minimal money. Good considering the cap situation. And they got under the cap without losing any significant players that they still want around. Like, that's a good offseason so far. 215-592-9494. Do you believe Howie Roseman has had a good offseason? We'll discuss that. And I need your help tonight on a very, very important subject. Beer. I'm out of it. My fridge downstairs, I have a fridge in the basement. I have no more beer left. I need some new ideas. Local breweries, we'll talk about it. 215-592-9494. Sports Radio 94 WIP. 728 Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. A ton to get into over the course of the show, including the Phils, Rhys Hoskins, red hot to start the season. They're 5-1. They go to Atlanta tomorrow night to start a 3-game series. Elliott coming up. We'll have a mock draft mania. We're starting with Howie Roseman, though, because I look at this offseason the Eagles have had. We're 3 weeks tonight from the draft. I think this has been a good offseason. The ability to get under the cap, to keep the players they wanted to keep, to get rid of Carson Wentz when he didn't want to be here anyway and he was coming off a bad year for a first-round pick and a third, to bring in a couple starters on defense on one-year deals when you had cap issues. I think the Eagles have had a good offseason, and I'll throw in trading down from 6 to 12. I mean, you look at the draft value chart, they won that deal. They got an extra first-round pick next year to move down 6 spots. I call this so far a good offseason. Agree, disagree. 215-592-9494. All right, when you call it, I need some help. I think we did this like 6 months ago, a year ago, something like that. So I love trying new beers, especially local beers. And I went downstairs to my basement the other day, and I realized, like, I'm out. I haven't gone and got any in a while. So I need some recommendations tonight. I need some recommendations for, let's go with local beers that I could try. I IPA is my preferred choice, but I'll try whatever. So local breweries, local beers that I could try. And I've tried a lot in the area, but there's still a lot that I have not tried yet. So you give me a recommendation And I will load up and get some, and you know, maybe 6 months from now I'll ask you guys again. But I need some help, need some recommendations on new beers that I could try. 215-592-9494. Let's go to the phone lines here. Mike in the Northeast. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, Mike. What are you thinking tonight?
I think you got, I'll give you trading down to get an additional first round. The rest, though, I don't really think that was Howie doing anything beyond just having to do his job. He had to get under the salary cap. He had to get rid of Carson Wentz. We had to get a better linebacker. Arguably, we'll see how this guy turns out. We got to get better in the secondary. Satisfactory. I appreciate you trying to spin this into a positive, but like, Howie's just barely doing his job. He had to do it. He's not doing anything special. He's not wowing us. I'll give you trading down for the pick.
Well, let me say this, Mike.
It, better for the future.
Obviously you're right in that he has no choice but to get under the cap. Right? That's, you have to be cap compliant. It's not a you can or you can't. You have to. But there's different ways to get under the cap, right? You could cut players. Like Derek Barnett is 1 year, $10 million. And when this whole thing began, you know, so there were some people out there who said they might have to cut Derek Barnett because they were so far over the cap. Like, they didn't get rid of one player that is any good to get under the cap. I consider that a pretty good cap management job, you know, to take a bad situation and not actually lose any players because of it.
I hear you there. But, I mean, if you look around the roster and you say, who do you think you got to cut? Getting rid of Alshon, getting rid of Deshaun. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Totally, right? Totally.
That's my take.
Right, but that didn't get them under the cap, right? They had to do other things to get under the cap, and they were able to do it without getting rid of any actual good players we wanted to keep. I mean, if I had told you, Mike, 3 months ago, that they would get a first-round pick for Carson, they would get an extra first-round pick to trade down to 12, and they wouldn't get rid of any one player on this team that we think is still any good, I think you'd be surprised.
I'd be surprised by trading down.
Okay.
I think everything else is par for the course.
All right. Well, that's fine. I appreciate it, Mike. I appreciate the phone call. So we're not giving Howie credit for anything now. When's the next time someone calls in this radio station with something positive to say about Howie Roseman? 2 years from now? A year from now? Ever again? When he's fired and we remember 2017? It's not even about Howie. Again, I don't think he's a particularly great GM. He's not. I mean, his track record says he's not a particularly great GM. He's also not an awful one. But I'm looking at what that's happened this offseason, just the transactions, the moves, trades, signings. I mean, yesterday they signed a good linebacker. He's a good player for 1 year. He's going to start here and be their best linebacker next season. They signed a starting safety that a year ago was one of the best, you know, most intercepts in the NFL. And they got them both on one-year deals. Like, this is exactly what you do in a transitional offseason. They've done it. 215-592-9494. The way I see it is the Eagles have had a good offseason. Agree? Disagree. Let's talk to Brett. Brett in Mount Airy. What's up, Brett?
Nah, how you doing, Joe? Hey, man, when you were a little kid, did you eat cereal?
I still eat cereal, yeah.
Okay, excellent. And if you spill the bowl of cereal on the floor and make a total mess, and then you clean up the mess, do you get credit for spilling the cereal or for cleaning up the cereal?
Well, you get both, right? You spill the cereal, but then you try to fix your mess. That's a good thing that you try to fix your mess and you don't make it worse and leave it there.
Are you sure? Because what I'm hearing you say is that Howie spilled his bowl of cereal all over the floor. He messed up the cap. He messed up signing the wrong players. And, oh, but he's doing a great job because he cleaned up his bowl of cereal. I'm not quite sure if you get
credit. Yeah, well, but he didn't really mess up the cap. He didn't mess up the
cap. He didn't mess up the cap? Who did?
Two things messed up the cap. Carson Wentz going in the toilet and the pandemic.
Okay. Who messed up Carson Wentz, right?
Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz.
No. Dysfunctional organization put the wrong people around him, drafted someone behind him who appeared to be a threat, and so he has one bad season, and now he's like a head case?
Yeah.
Dude, that's also how he's bowl of cereal that's messed up.
And that's fine. The Carson contract was a terrible mistake by Howie Roseman. But as far as who messed up Carson Wentz, he was bad. I mean, he messed himself up. He stunk.
Well, no. He messed himself up for one season. He was you could have reclaimed him had he not been in a totally dysfunctional situation.
He asked out. He asked out of here.
Yes, because he realized this is a train wreck. I don't want to be part of your dumpster fire.
Brett, that's fine. And that's fine. But the bottom line is, like, he had a bad, expensive quarterback last year. A bad quarterback that was expensive. And he wanted out. And he got a first-round pick for him. That's a good trade.
No, he didn't get a first-round pick for him. He got a possible first-round pick for him.
Okay, so if he doesn't get a first-round pick, it's even a better trade. You know why?
Why?
Because if they only get a two, it means Carson Wentz got hurt again, or he was so bad he got benched again, which means a two and a three for a guy who gets hurt or benched is a good trade.
No.
Wait a second. Brett, if he gets hurt or benched again, a two and a three would not be good value for that quarterback?
Absolutely not. Do you know how much we gave up? We mortgaged our future. How many picks did we give
Brett,
up?
Brett, it doesn't matter anymore. He's not a good quarterback anymore. It doesn't matter.
No. What matters is the fact that the Eagles mortgaged part of their future in order to get this guy, and then they didn't do what they needed to in order to make him succeed.
They did. Oh, my goodness, Brett. They won a bunch of games with them. They did plenty to help him out. Anyway, the bottom line is this. Brett, let me ask you a question. If you spend $20,000 on a car, and then you drive it around for a while and it starts breaking down, and you sell it to someone for $5,000, do you go home and say, man, what a bad transaction I made? No, you got something for something that's not good anymore.
No. You're the same guy that I had this conversation with. You're soft serve. When Joel was shushing the crowd, I was the guy that called you up last time, and you're like, I can't believe you shushed us.
Yeah, it bothered me.
It bothered you because you're soft.
I'm soft. Well, what does that have to do with me personally about the Eagles? I don't get it.
It's the same thing, dude. You just make up excuses and you try and, you know, oh, it's this, it's that.
Listen, this is all it is. I'm looking at the offseason and say, considering the circumstances, they've done a good job this offseason. That's all.
Okay. Yeah, he cleaned up his bowl of cereal. You're right. That's awesome.
So it's been a bad offseason.
It's not been a good offseason.
Okay, what would have been a good offseason? What would they have done that makes you say good?
They would have done a lot more. The trouble is...
Like what? What did you expect that hasn't happened?
So the problem is they dug themselves into a hole.
But that's not the conversation. It's the offseason, not what they did last year.
Brett, listen,
that's what you want to make the conversation. I'm talking about the offseason so far. Have they had a bad offseason?
They've had a mediocre offseason.
Okay, well, then there you go. At least I got a take out of you. Brett, I appreciate the phone call. You can call me soft. That's not a take on the subject. Call me whatever name you want. That's not what we're talking about. The bottom line is I look at the offseason, I say, what people thought was going to happen here 4 months ago, they've done better than that. I remember the conversations we had. We're not going to be able to get any players. We're going to have to cut starters. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're stuck with Carson Wentz. We're going to get a fourth-round pick for Carson Wentz. We had all these conversations. They've done better in every realm. Every realm. They got more for Wentz than I think anybody thought they would. They were able to move down and get an extra first-round pick for moving down in the draft. They now have three in next year's draft. They had one 2 months ago. One future first-round pick, their own next year. Now they have three of them. And we keep saying potentially on the first-round pick. I mean, goodness gracious. It's just a mouthful to say it that way. What do they have right now? What would you call the pick they have for Carson Wentz? How would you say it?
It's ambiguous.
No, it's not. We can't do that for a year. I can't say ambiguous for a year. I mean, you're right. It is ambiguous. It's likely a first-round pick.
It's a conditional second-round pick.
You just don't want to swim across the Schuylkill.
Well, no. As of right now, it's a second-round pick. By mid-December, it could be a first-round pick. But as we stand here today, it's a second-round pick.
What?
And Ian Rappaport came on the afternoon show a week earlier and said future first-round picks are really the same as current second-round picks. So a future second is probably close to a third. So really, it's a third-round pick?
That could
convey into a second?
Yeah, that's what they call a spin job right there. 215-592-9494. Frankie in Roxburgh. What's up, Frankie?
Hey, Joe, what's happening?
Frankie, how are we doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I'm just cooking and I'm making teriyaki chicken.
Oh, now we're getting hungry in here. What do you have? What are you having, some rice with that? Vegetables? What are you doing with that?
I got some nice rice and I bought some white corn on a cob today.
Oh, now we're talking. You know what you got to do, Frank? You got to fire up YouTube and stream yourself a cooking show.
Yeah, I should. I turned into a gourmet during this pandemic, Joe.
Listen, we've all found new hobbies. You know, you're stuck inside a lot, so that's good. Cooking's good. Frankie, what are you thinking here with the Eagles? Good off season or not?
Yeah, I think it was a good offseason. And I think they're going to be better than everybody thinks, Joe. And about Jalen Hurts, I think he's getting a bad rap because he didn't have no offseason. They had all virtual, meetings, and he only played 4 games, and he showed me something. And, like, he's getting a bad rap that he's not accurate. He wants to, he doesn't go through all his reads. But who did he have? Who was he playing with that last game, Joe?
Yeah, well, the last game, nobody. I mean, they were trying to lose that game on purpose.
And anything, they said that about Jackson in Baltimore. They said that about what's his name in Buffalo?
Josh Allen.
Yeah. And the kind of player he is, I think he's going to shut a lot of people up.
Yeah, I do too. I'm excited to watch him grow and play. And Frankie, man, you have a great night and enjoy the teriyaki chicken. You're a teriyaki guy, Tucker? Teriyaki? Pro or con teriyaki? What do you think?
No, I'm pro chicken teriyaki.
Teriyaki is a great flavor. I think it's one of the more underrated sauces.
Yeah, it's something that I don't think is a very rarely used flavor.
It's not a mainstream flavor. You don't just go over and get teriyaki.
No, I mean barbecue and lemon pepper chicken.
Yeah, teriyaki is good. I put them right up there with those. 215-592-9494. So listen, the way I look at it is this. The Eagles have had, considering the circumstances, they've had a good offseason. They got more from Wentz than I thought. They didn't get rid of any legitimate players in the cuts they had to make or the moves they had to make to get under the salary cap. I don't think any of the moves are going to cripple them long term. The only one I worry about is Slay because I saw a decline last year. And they move the money to, a year from now, they're going to still have him on the team. That's the only one. I mean, the other ones, all right, it's a little money here and there, but it's not like those guys were going to go anywhere anytime soon anyway. So I thought they'd lose more players having to cut players. They didn't really. I didn't think they'd get what they got for Wentz. They did. I didn't think they'd be able to get 2 starters on defense, considering their cap situation, on 1-year deals. They were able to do that. And they were able to move down from 6 to 12 and get another first-round pick. I look at that and say, those are good moves. Like, this has been a good offseason for the Eagles. Agree, disagree. 215-592-9494. When you call in, I need to stock my fridge with some beer. I need some local beer suggestions, and I need you guys to hand them to me. Mike in Middletown has got a beer suggestion and a thought on the Eagles. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, Mike. What's on your mind tonight?
Nothing. I actually just had kind of an analogy that I wanted to represent. Recently, my car, I put in about $3,000 worth of work into about an 8-year-old car. And, I bought a new serpentine belt, a new battery, new alternator. I had to do it one after the other. It was like 1 week something would go wrong, the next week something would go wrong. And I finally got all this work done. And then driving up to work the other day, my transmission blows out. So everything that I had put into the car within the past month or so is basically rendered useless. The car is rendered useless, and now I got to sell the car. And it kind of replicates what the Eagles have done with their team. They've basically put a bunch of money into something that they really weren't going to get anywhere with anyway. Pardon my dog. And then they just kind of said, oh, well, we got to make the best with what we have. And I think with whatever they have, I think, Howie's done a decent job. I'm not going to sit here and, sing his praises immediately. But with the offseason, you can't really do too much when you're that far over the cap. You have a bunch of players that don't want to play here, including our quarterback who we've paid, basically our entire future into. They have to do what they, have to do to try and get wheels again. They have to try and go get a car to service them for the time being. And I think that he's done a good job of that.
Yeah, and that's the way I view it. I think the car analogy is interesting. Like, 3 months ago, they had a quarterback who didn't want to be here that was making a lot of money, and they only had 1 future first-round pick for next year. Now they don't have that quarterback, and they have 3 picks in next year's draft. Like, that's pretty good, like, all things considered. And the part, Mike, that I just was surprised at is they didn't really have to cut any players that are decent players still, to get under the cap. They were able to move the money around and still keep their starters here.
Absolutely. And I did have a beer for you, too.
What is it?
So Yards Brewing, it's a Philadelphia local brewer company. I used to work at a liquor store, and we got a stock of it down here in Middletown. So I think you should be able to find it. It's called Big Hazy. It's it's inspired after Adam, after Hayes, the Flyers player.
Oh, you know what? I think I saw a can. I think I saw a picture. I do have to try that. Mike, I appreciate it. So I got Big Hazy here. Yard, you got a beer for me, Tucker?
I mean, Joe, I'm not sure if you're aware that one of our coworkers here is in the brewing realm.
Yes. Well, actually, two of our coworkers, right?
Well, one of them.
Well, no, two. We got Jack. His family owns I can't think of the name now. High Hops is the name of the beer. And then, of course, you're talking about Glenn.
I'm talking about Glenn Mack now and the Conshohocken Brewing Company. And, Joe, I think around Christmas time, I went to City Hall. They had a fancy little Christmas village. And I had his beer. It was called Ring the Bell. It's delicious. And it's a Phillies, you know, inspired beer. And you know what? I bought a 4-pack last week.
Was it good?
Before opening day.
You're out.
It's the perfect way to celebrate a Phillies victory after a night.
So that means you're out. If you bought a 4-pack.
I ran out the other day. I didn't think they'd start off so hot.
They're 5-1. You need more beer.
I mean, you know, I wasn't that optimistic. I ran out. And no one's really open around 12:30 when I get home. So you know, I didn't particularly celebrate last night the way I should. But, you know, it's fantastic.
So you got Conshohocken Brewing Company for me. I know a lot about Conshohocken. It's great beer. Obviously, Glenn's brewery. Jack's family's is called Four Fingers, if you want to check them out. But as far as... I've never had that one, actually. I've never had the Ring the Bell one. You know, I actually went to Glenn's, one of the breweries. They have the one actually in Conshohocken. And I got a bunch of beer one day because a few years ago, maybe this was more than a few, but some years ago, I did a few television hits on CBS3. I forget what it's called, a Sports Zone, maybe, like 11:30 on Sunday nights. They do Sports Zone. They have a different, you know, guest every week. So I did a couple of them. And CBS gave me gift cards to Glenn's brewery. So it gave me an excuse to actually go. I mean, I've got some beer of his brewery at the store, like a beer store or whatever. But I never actually went to the brew hall. So I went one day, and I had these gift cards, like a pretty decent amount on the gift card. I was able to buy a bunch of beer, and I didn't even know. Like, when they gave me the gift card at CBS, they didn't say what it was, right? They didn't say $20, $50. I didn't know what it was. So I just went in there. I was like, can you tell me how much on this gift card? And they told me. I was like, wow. I can get a bunch here. So I tried a lot, but I didn't try Ring the Bell. Are you going to pick up some more?
I mean, I have to.
I mean, the Phillies might win 100 games. You're going to have to buy 25 packs.
It's a lot of beer. It's a lot of free chicken sandwiches. It's a lot of everything.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of wins, too. 215-592-9494. Doug in Connecticut. What's up, Doug?
All right, so I'm going to give you an analogy or something. So Howie may have spilled all this cereal, but I think he's made a situation where he might be able to rake gold flakes out of the carpet, because we don't know what's going to happen with that first round pick down the road. You know, I'm not a huge Howie fan. I'm not. Like, I think he and coaches and whoever and scouts have screwed this all up. But what they've done is they've basically said, just draft-wise, they've kind of said goodbye to two players, Pitts and Chase. And that would have been exciting to get either of those two guys. But I think what we could do as a team is you got the what we should do and what we want to do. And what they should do is really go for a corner. They really should look at the O-line, even though, you know, is Dillard, Andre Dillard a wasted pick? We don't know yet. But I like where they are at 12, actually, because what's going to sting even less is if the Giants and the Cowboys don't take a skill player and they don't take a cornerback, because they may go linebacker. The Giants need a linebacker. And the Cowboys, they do need a left tackle, or they do need O-line help. I don't see them taking a wide receiver. So I kind of like where they are at 12.
Yeah, I do too, Doug. I think it's a good spot. I mean, what you said is true, that they passed on the chance. We don't know, but probably the chance to get either one of Pitts or Chase. So we'll talk about that for years. But to get a first-round pick and then to still be in a spot where they could get an impact player at 12, it's a good spot to be. And I also wouldn't rule out, Doug, if someone falls down and they're at 8 or 9, and they like a player, they could jump back up. They have a lot of picks. Yeah, they have a lot of picks.
Exactly. I was thinking about that. What's that going to cost them? Maybe a third, or who knows what that cost them. But, and the other thing they did, and it's not going to be satisfying to me, but they put themselves in a position to buy a quarterback. If it's next year, or if it's to go back up, you know, 1, 2, 3, to if you got to go up that far on the draft board, they've got all these picks now, and they can do that. That's not what I would want to do. There's something satisfying about watching McNabb. Just we picked him. Not all of us wanted him, but he progressed each year, getting to the Bears, getting to the Rams, just a step closer, step closer, step closer. And, you know, it never finished it off, but he was our guy. And I kind of want Hurts to be the beginning of that. And But we'll see how it goes. I'm ready for 3 weeks to fly by. Honestly, I'm ready for draft night now.
Yeah, I can't wait. And I agree with you that they have that. They have the ammunition. And Doug, I appreciate it. They have the ammunition to get a quarterback if they want one and need one next year. So that's they have. You know what they have now? The Eagles have some options and they have some ability to fix mistakes. So the last couple of years they didn't really. I mean, they kind of were stuck with what they had and were hoping what they had was going to turn back into something great. It didn't. It went backwards. They stunk. I mean, they were bad last year. And Howie made a lot of mistakes, 18 and 19, to get them as bad as they got in 20. I mean, sometimes the mistakes you make, like last year, I didn't think the Eagles had a very good offseason. The year before, I didn't think they had a very good offseason. I said it on these airwaves, and then I think they would plummet the way they did. I didn't, but they did. And now they're in this spot, and I actually think, considering the situation they were in, considering where they were, considering where we were looking at the outlook long term a year, 3 months ago, they've reset this to the point where, okay, now they have to really finish the job and have a good draft. But as of this moment, the trade of Wentz got value for that. The trade of 6-12 got value for that. Two starters at free agency on 1 year deals, good value there. I mean, they've had a good offseason so far. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. When you call in, I need a local beer recommendation. I'm out. My fridge downstairs is empty. I need to stock up. Where should I check out a new local beer? You give me that. We'll talk some Eagles. We'll get to some Philly stuff. And on the other side, Elliott Shore Park joins the show to talk Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.